We turn to God's Word this morning to Proverbs chapter 3. And it's to this chapter then that I'm going to refer to this morning in respect to two verses that we're going to focus on this morning. Two verses then in Proverbs chapter 3. In the 18th century, a moral philosopher, an economic theorist called Adam Smith, wrote a very influential book called The Wealth of Nations. And within this book, he used a very telling expression. Now, as an economist and a moral philosopher, he wrote really with respect to the emerging market economy that was developing in the nation at that time, and we see around us today market forces. You've heard of that regarding the stock market and the economic forecasters today. But he used an expression that was absolutely staggering, and he called it the invisible hand. The invisible hand. Behind the free market economy, he said, there's an invisible hand. An invisible hand. Well, he didn't know it then, but what he was saying, that behind everything, there is the providence and sovereignty of the living God. Because, my friends, God's hand is upon this world today. And God's hand is active in your life as well, whether you know it or not. And if you are a Christian this morning, you are never alone, because God is always with you. Now, this is the second Sunday of a new year. And so, it's only, 10, 12 days old. Maybe the resolutions you made nearly 2 weeks ago already broken. But you're still wondering, perhaps, what does this year, this 2014 year, what will it bring to you? Well, if you're a Christian, the supreme need to realize is this, that God has his purpose for you and his will for you. And yet you have a responsibility as a Christian, if you are a Christian this morning, to live under his lordship. That's really my concern this morning. Our responsibility in living under the lordship of the sovereign God of heaven and earth. Now, last year was a bit of a significant year for me. It was my spiritual jubilee. In August of 1963, as a 17-year-old, without any Bible background, without any Christian influence at home, I became a Christian. Much to my surprise, and to the surprise of many others, I may hasten to add as well. I was converted to the Boys' Brigade camp, and life for me has never really been the same since. So it was 50 years ago last August that happened to me. Now, this may shock you. I didn't have a Bible for about 4 or 5 months. I must have borrowed one. I don't know where I read the scriptures, but I didn't have one. And I said to my aunt, please, can I be so bold as to make a request for a Christmas present this year? Yes, she said. I said, I like a Bible. And she came up good. And she gave me my first Bible of Christmas 1963. And I'm always grateful for her for that. But the thing is, she put a verse in that Bible. And this was the verse or verses that she gave me from Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. As a 17-year-old, she gave me that verse or those verses 50 years ago. His last Christmas. And I have to say that those verses have followed me round. And how wonderful they are for the Christian. And if you're a Christian, what comfort, what encouragement, what blessing there is for you in these verses. And if you're not a Christian this morning, well, let me say this to you. These words come from the living God. They're found in the book of Proverbs, which speak to us of wisdom. And behind this book of the Bible, the book of Proverbs, is the very one who is the wisdom of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. If you know him, it says in the Bible, he has made unto us wisdom. And knowing Christ is to know wisdom. And my prayer is, if you're not a Christian this morning, you may become one. And if you are a Christian, that these verses may be truly blessed to you. The subject then I want to speak on is the believer's life principle. The believer's life principle. We must, if we are Christians this morning and we love Jesus, we have to base our life upon him. And these words come to us with great power. And they say to us, this is how to live. This is how to live. And this is to be your life principle, Christian, if you are a believer this morning. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. What it tells us is this, that if you're a believer in Jesus, if you know him, the Bible will be totally and utterly central in your life, because your life will be based upon its teaching and upon its doctrines. Now, the book of Proverbs is a storehouse of wisdom, which is just tremendous. And this is how it opens. It says this, really, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And if you fear the Lord, you will be given by the Holy Spirit true spiritual knowledge and wisdom. This is a wonderful prospect for the person who is a Christian. This is not mysticism, this is godliness. And just as my aunt gave me those verses so many years ago, I can stand before you this morning and testify of the truth of them. I prove these to be true. I prove them to be true. And they retain for me a challenge even in my old age. What comfort there are to be found here in these words. They're like great promises, aren't they? And C.H. Spurgeon wrote a book called The Checkbook of the Bank of Faith. Each promise, he said, of the Bible is like a check that God gives to you. But in order that it may profit you, in order that you may benefit by it, you present it to him at the bank of faith. And you get the benefit of them. Well, here these promises are conditional. There are some promises which are unconditional. So, this is what God tells us to do. There are two things I want to share with you this morning briefly. Firstly, the needful resolve and his undying promise. Firstly, the needful resolve, and then secondly, his undying promise. And under the needful resolve, let's look at that firstly then this morning. Firstly, the needful resolve, and it's this, to have an unreserved faith in God. That's what it's called here. To have an unreserved faith in God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. I love that word all, don't you? I love that word all, because it says it's to be entire. It's not to be kind of wavering. It's not to be conditional in the sense that, well, I can cross my fingers behind my back and if it doesn't suit me, I can come to some agreement with God. No, it's not that at all. Trust in the Lord. Rely upon him. Trust in him with all your heart. Don't be wavering. And Christians who waver, Christians who are wavering, they're unstable. We're told this in the Bible, aren't we? If you're unwavering, if you doubt this, you're like a wavering of the sea, says James, that you're tossed to and fro. No, this is a requirement to trust in the Lord with all your heart. It's not a matter of a nominal belief. Now, I'm in my third year of retirement. I was a pastor for 40 years. One of the problems I came across in my ministry was half-hearted Christians, nominal Christians. Well, it frustrated me. It really did. And I did everything I could to encourage wholeheartedness. And we have to dispense, my friends, can I be frank with you this morning? We have to do away with, dispense with nominalism. That I treat Sunday, I treat the local church, I treat the Lord God as I treat my local news agent. I can just pop in when it suits me. It's not that. The Christian faith is not that, my friends. It is something that consumes us, or ought to. Now, this faith and trust that the author is speaking of here is saying, now, it's not to be in you, it's to be in him, it's to be in the Lord. It's not a matter of self-confidence. It's a matter of complete confidence, self-denying confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who makes unto us wisdom. He is the one who takes believers to heaven. Oh, we have to depend on him, don't we? Are you doing that this morning? Can I ask you this? I'm challenged by these words. I am. Every time I read them, I'm moved by them. I have to ask myself, are they true of me? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And am I saying to myself, am I becoming nominal in my belief in the Lord? Am I becoming half-hearted in my old age? I don't want to be. I hate that thought. But my flesh would rebel against these words. My old nature would say, no, assert yourself, Jeff. Do what you want to do. No. No, I have to say no to myself and deny myself. This is what Scripture says, Psalm 37, verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. That's what it says. Well, I believe that. To trust is to commit. Now, those of us who are parents here, and there are a number of parents here, you remember when your children were quite small, and they were maybe 7 or 8, and they wanted to go shopping for the first time. Do you remember sending your children out shopping on their own for the first time? A bit nervous. It's a nervous kind of thing, isn't it, to send your children out shopping for the first time? We did ours, and I followed them at a distance. They went down shopping at Tesco's in Green Street, and I followed them. And they didn't see me, and they came back. Oh, it's really good, this, isn't it? There we are. I've done your shopping for your mum. What would you do when you commit your children to the streets to do shopping for the first time? Or you say, Lord, look after them, but I've got a responsibility to see where they go. Once we had a telephone call from our son, who was 9 years old, with his friend, Damien, who was 11. And they said, you never guess where we are. I said, well, we're at Nana's. I thought, Nana? They've been on the tube. They've gone to Nana Newborn in Westminster. You with Nana Newborn in Westminster? No, with Nana Gobbett in Morden. I thought, how did you get there? I couldn't believe this. Here they are. They cope with London transport at 9 years old and 11 years old. We were a bit nervous, really. And parents are when children are given a bit more responsibility, you know, to go shopping, do jobs. And then when they're 15 or 16, they're going on their own holiday together, maybe, with friends. Or when they're 18, they go to university for the first time. What do you do when you have this kind of sinking feeling? My children are becoming less dependent on me and more dependent in their own right. Well, you say, Lord, we commit them to you. We commit them to you. And that's, of course, what you do. And that's what we do when we commit ourselves to the Lord. We commit ourselves utterly and completely to the Lord. And to have this needful resolve then is to have an unreserved faith in the living God. And secondly, under this heading, there's a negative here. To have a healthy disregard of self. A healthy disregard of self under this heading. And this is what it says here. And lean not to your own understanding. Well, that's difficult, isn't it? That really is. What does this mean? To lay aside our minds? No. Our weight, our dependency must be wholly upon the Lord and not upon our own self-confidence. Here's an illustration. A man was wanting to cross a river when it was iced up. It's very cold. I think it was in Canada. And if we think it's cold today, well, you want to live in Canada. It's something else, really. Have you seen the photographs of America recently? Niagara Falls being frozen over. Well, that is real cold. Imagine this, then. A man was wanted to cross a river that was iced up. But would the ice take his weight? Would he feel the cracking underneath his feet? So he crawled very gingerly on his hands and knees across the frozen river till he was halfway. And he thought, shall I make the other half? Behind him, there was a noise. And he looked back. There was a set of four horses pulling a wagon loaded with logs. And the rider was taking this great weight across the river. Well, the Lord can take our weight, my friends. He can. You can rely upon him. He can take the weight. So don't trust yourself. Don't trust your own ability. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Lean not to your own understanding. You know, many people I've found today are too self-reliant. Are you one of them? Are you self-reliant? Bad move. That's not the way to go. I was at a conference in 1995 in East London. I was closing years at Hope Chapel. I went to a meeting for pastors in East London Tabernacle, 1995. I heard a man called Jack Miller. Tremendous ministry. He said this, so trust God that if he failed you, you'll be done forever. You'll be finished forever. But be assured, he's not going to fail you. Make sure that your trust in him is whole and entire and exclusive. Lean not to your own understanding. We make mistakes here, don't we? Sometimes we do rely on our own understanding. I remember a friend of mine who was in Christian ministry, but wasn't a pastor. He was doing some Christian work in a Christian organization. He wanted to become a pastor. And he was telling me how he wanted to change ministries from doing what he was doing in Christian service to doing pastoral ministries. And now this is what I want. I want quite a large church. And I want a nice school for my children to go to. And I like a nice set of elders to look after me. And I like a good salary. And this is my checklist of what I want. And this is what I'm looking for. The more he went through his checklist, the more unhappy I was feeling. He was putting thoughts in my mind which were, Lord, this is not the way to do it. But this is what he did. He said, this is what I want, this is what I want, this is what I want, this is my checklist, this is what I'm looking for, this is where I want to go, and this is where I'll respond to if the checklist is satisfied. Now, that's not my approach at all to ministry. We've never had a checklist at all. Is the Lord leading here or is he not? Anyway, he found a church suitable to his checklist. Yes, it was a large church. Yes, it did have good schools for his children. Yes, it did support him financially. Yes, he did have a group of elders. But I thought to myself, the way he's dealing with this, he's leaning under his own understanding. It's a bad move, this, I think. And so it proved to be. It ended in tears. It ended in tears. So, my friends, let's take heed of these words, shall we? If we love the Lord Jesus, we shall take heed of these words. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And under this heading, another third thing to think about. It is to have an unreserved faith in God. It is to have a healthy disregard of self. And thirdly, to own with deep gratitude the loving care of God. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In every step you make, acknowledge Him. Do you do this? If you're a Christian, do you do this at work or at home or in the neighborhood or in the ministries that God has given you here? Do you do this? In all your ways, acknowledge Him. I wish I could say I could stand before you as one who's done this, but to perfection, but I haven't. I wish I could stand before you and say I've been blessed in fulfilling this in ultimate reality. I can't say that, but I sought to do this. This verse became such a challenge to me in my Christian life. I said, Lord, help me acknowledge you wherever I am, at work. So I was 21 years old, and the Lord said, He said to me, start a Christian union where your workplace is. And I did, and it was blessed, but again, I was misunderstood and misrepresented in the workplace. I remember one occasion, it was Billy Graham's crusade coming up. I think it was in 1966-67, and I put a flyer on the notice board at work. It was taken down. I put it up again. It was taken down again. I put it up, and it was taken down again. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Don't be ashamed of Him. And I would say this to young Christians here who love the Lord. Don't be ashamed of Him at work. Don't be ashamed of Him with your peers. Don't be ashamed of Him. Acknowledge Him. Tell Him and tell others that you love the Lord. It's a good thing, isn't it, to see God's hand upon our lives day by day and thank Him for His mercies to us. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. To see the hand of God upon your life and to respond to it. Just as I was saying earlier to the children about this smartphone, that the glass is so sensitive to touch. Are our hearts sensitive to the Word of God? Sensitive to the Spirit of God as He speaks to us and leads us and guides us? That really was the major point to think about this morning. I'm continuing with a second main point. The first point is the need for resolve, and then secondly, His undying promise. And this is such an encouragement to me, and I hope to every believer here this morning. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. His undying promise. He shall direct your paths. What does that mean? It means He will guide us. He will lead us. My sheep hear My voice, and they follow Me. And this is where we discern the invisible hand of God. He will lead us, and He will guide us. Who doesn't need leading and guiding and directing? Well, we all do, don't we? And there's no greater passage, I think, really, for personal guidance than this wonderful verse in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. And there's a great commentary by Charles Bridges on Proverbs. And what he says on these verses is the best material I can ever recommend to anyone seeking guidance. In our church at Highbury, we had at one stage four theological students seeking God's guidance. And one came to me and said, I really want to know God's guidance. What can you say? What can you say regarding your own experience? And how does God guide? And how can I be sure of his hand leading me and directing me? Well, it's a good question to ask, isn't it? Who hasn't had those kind of anxieties? What does God want of my life? Where is he leading me? Where is he directing me? And I said, well, the best thing I can give you is the comments made by Charles Bridges on this couplet of verses. And this is so encouraging. He says this: ever plan for yourself in simple dependence upon God. It is nothing less than self-idolatry to conceive that we can carry on even the ordinary matters of the day without his counsel. This is a wonderful comment. He loves to be consulted. Oh, he does. He loves to be consulted. Therefore, take all thy difficulties to be resolved by him. Be in the habit of going to him in the first place. Not the last place, friends. The first place. Before self-will, self-pleasing, self-wisdom, human friends, convenience, expediency, before any of these have consulted, go to God at once. Consider no circumstances too clear to need his direction. In all thy ways, small as well as great, in all thy concerns, personal and relative, temporal or eternal, let him be supreme. I thought, why is this so encouraging? I read this, you know, there's been times in my life where I've needed guidance, I've needed the Lord's direction. These comments and this particular verse, or set of verses, have been so helpful and encouraging. The brother thanked me and said, oh, these are so wonderful words. And the Lord directed him and guided him. Our own son David, this past year or so, has been needing guidance. He's in ministry himself in Cambridge, wanting to know the Lord's direction. And I said, well, David, best thing you can do, read these comments by Charles Bridges on Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Always remembering that it is best which is least our doing. An pliable spirit ever secures the needful guidance. So encouraging these words, aren't they? Do you need guidance at the moment? Second Sunday of a new year, you're wondering what God's will is for you, what his purpose is for your life, what direction you should take. Well, my friends, this is your responsibility. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And this is his blessed promise. And he shall direct your paths. This is for you as a Christian, if you are a Christian this morning. But it may be that there's some here and you're not a Christian. You don't know the Lord. You are not walking with Jesus in that dependency. Well, can I say to you, yield to him. Yield to Jesus. Yield to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he says here in John 10. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. I must bring, and they will hear my voice. What is that voice saying to you today? It says to you, follow me. Follow me. Well, these words, these wonderful words in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, if a Christian, These are words to base your life upon. To center your life upon the living God and His Word. And you will prove this verse true. And you will get joy. And God will get the glory. And I pray that may be so.